This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you coming up in 10 minutes. We'll talk more about the AL Central as a whole and some of the teams that could be in the way of the Royals, who could give them the biggest test throughout the season. We know the Royals open up opening day on Thursday against the Cleveland Guardians. Game right here on 96.5 The Fan. Cody and I will be broadcasting live outside Gate D. Gate D on Thursday from 10 to 2. But when we look at the roster, we've talked a lot about how the outfield is going to be kind of orchestrated and the opportunities that certain players are going to have to maybe play more in the outfield and who can maybe have a bigger swing for the team. And I think if I were to ask you, Massey, MJ Melendez, Hunter Renfroe, who do you think has the better year? Because who would be the bigger benefit to have the better year for the team? It's MJ Melendez. If he all of a sudden had a great year, that changes everything for this team. Unfortunately, that's not my answer on who I think is going to have the better year between Massey, MJ, and Renfroe. I'm going to actually go with Hunter Renfroe for this. A veteran has more of a track record of success in the league. Last year was not good. We know that. I thought there were some flashes, but was not good. I don't think it's crazy to think that he can't. I'm not saying he's going to get to the 30 home run mark like he has multiple times in his career, but 22 to 25 home runs, which is a significant increase. Can he bump the batting average from 220s to mid 240s? So 245 hitter, 23 to 25 home runs. That would be a huge, huge boost for this team. And I think that's the most realistic out of the bunch to do that based off of what he has been in his career. He also is going to have a pretty long leash still. It's the final year of his contract, and he's making a good chunk of change.
It is. I will say, though, it is easier to get rid of him now than it was last year.
Than last
year.
Have
a down year, and you got a full year left on your deal. Kind of hard to get rid of.
He has to be
have a down year this year, and Jack Caglione rakes in Double A and learns how to play right field. Easy to get rid of you.
He has a longer leash than people think, though. This is not the same as Hunter Dozier. Hunter Dozier at the time, he also was way worse than what Hunter Renfroe was last
year. He's had nowhere close to the career Hunter Renfroe has too. Yeah,
but when they finally moved on from Hunter Dozier, that was even, you thought the stat line was bad last year for Renfroe, not even close to what it was for Dozier. And what you brought up with Cags, Caglione still has to hit in the minors and perform in right field, but he hasn't played right field. So
it takes some stuff.
It could be August. It could be July. My money is on Hunter Renfroe of those three having the better year. I hope it's MJ Melendez because that'd be the best for the franchise. But
I'll say he's not losing his job to Dairon Blanco, Kevin Biggio, Nick Lofton, Gavin Cross, any of the like minor league dudes or the major league guys who are backups, I don't think they're taking Hunter Renfroe's job. The only man who will take Hunter Renfroe's job this year is injury or Jack Caglione. like, is my best guess. Those would be the only two ways in which he could lose it. And so, yeah, it requires a lot of Caglio to perform. He is only $7.5 million. It's about the amount they ate on Omar Infante 10 years ago, so it probably hurts less to eat $7.5 million this year. As you know, that number goes down with every game he plays. But, yeah, I think that that's a decent answer. I just feel like he might be kind of middling. He might just be like a perfectly fine right fielder we don't hate. My answer is Michael Massey. I considered MJ. It's really hard. And we talked to MJ. He had said it took his dad 3 years to convince him just to make the swing change. In a lot of ways, Gold, I'm glad he made it. And that definitely could make a difference. But that makes me feel like it's going to be easier for him to fall back into the trap. That he struggles in April or he struggles in May. And then he's like, you know, I was actually even a better hitter the other way. Maybe it wasn't going the way I wanted, but at least I was hitting homers then or whatever else. And he goes back. And if he goes back, then the upside is tremendous, but it can't be the answer.
Oh, he has the highest ceiling, yes.
Massey is going to play multiple positions for this team. I think he's going to take some games from Mikel at third. He's going to play some games at second. I think he's going to play some games in left. And if he's going to play multiple spots and stays healthy, I think he's got a chance to be their like six hitter the entire year and consistently do it. Renfroe's going to be their five, most likely. The guy you had just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I think Massey would be my choice of those available guys. You and I, the problem is like Mikel Garcia, he's another guy where I think the upside's kind of high. I think they're cutting his playing time back. I feel like they lost confidence in him the last couple of months of last season. And as a result of that, they were already reining some of his playing time in. They replaced him at the top of the order with India. And maybe this will help Mikel. The only argument I make for Mikel is maybe the lack of pressure of trying to be the hero helps him. He was trying to be the leadoff hitter. He's trying to be, you know, everyday third baseman, leadoff hitter, like hit for some power early on, remember? Like, just taking the heat off of him, does that not help him a little bit versus like India just taking a little smoke off of some of these guys?
Oh, there's definitely the possibility that's the case. And I think some of probably the performance last year was because he did not perform in the leadoff spot and that impacted him. I think if we were to do the exercise differently and just say who would help the team the most with a better year, one would be Melendez, then Massey, then Mikel, then Renfroe. From a, hey, out of all these guys, if it just clicked for them, who would have the biggest swing for the team? Yeah, it's those guys.
Yeah.
I just think I'll say this, the safest bet for it is also Hunter Renfroe, if that makes sense, right? Just based off of what he
has a much more proven big league career. Yeah. He's a 10-league big year, you know, big leaguer for a reason, a million other things. He is a very consistent guy. So, and over the course of his career, but like his ceiling is like the lowest out of all of them.
Sure.
In a lot of ways.
Well, it's the other guys, it's just still.
The floor's higher than any other player, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even considering the down year last year, but. The ceiling is like, I mean, you know, he is who he is as a big leaguer. He has been a career 238, 299, 468 slash line. What you're asking for in a hitter, Hunter Renfroe, is get on base at about a 300 clip and slug 25 homers. You know what's funny about him? Is that he has the lowest bar to clear for this conversation, Gold, for us to be talking about this at the All-Star break and talking about it. Because you know what? The only thing I care that Hunter Renfroe brings back to his game is stay healthy, hit homers. I don't care about any other part of his game. I know we'll hit like 240. I know he'll get on base at about 300. He has done that massively consistently in his Major League Baseball career. All I care about is put some balls over the fence. And he hit 15 of them last year in 120 games. He has at different times in the year 26, 26, 33, 31, 29, and 28. That was 6 years in a seven-year run. Those were his home run totals. Now he's been hurt. We don't talk about him the same way as MJ, but he missed like 40 games for the Angels in 2023. And then he got traded and barely played or played a little. Not 40, like 30 games. He got dinged up a little bit, and he played 120 last year for the Royals.
Is the Royale with cheese still a thing? Hunter Renfroe's got his own sandwich.
Did he take over Hunter?
He did. It was Hunter Dozier before, and it's Hunter Renfroe now.
So wait, they're just, it's like people named Hunter?
Just a coincidence, I'm sure.
That seems like a heck of a
Hunter's
coincidence.
Hunter's Royale with cheese was a thing last year. I just looked online on Zarda's site, and I think even at Ivy, you can order it. It's still a thing.
What do you got? Let me hear the sandwich. Let me decide if it sounds good.
Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second.
Meanwhile, I'll look through the Royals minor league list for anybody else named Hunter for the future of Zarda's.
Well, Hunter Harvey's on the team too, just in case things don't go well.
22 ranked prospect for the Royals. He's an A-ball. His name is Hunter Owen.
Okay.
It's the next owner of the Zarda sandwich.
The Royale with cheese at Zarda's award-winning reserve burn-ins, melted pepper jack cheese, juicy pulled pork, melted cheddar cheese, crispy onion straws, melted provolone cheese, all stacked tall on aroma bun. Get you one of the Hunter Renfro Royale with cheese.
Sounds good.
It's a thing.
I didn't like the way you said juicy, but other than that, the sandwich sounded good.
Juicy?
You like pause between the two words. You said juicy pulled pork. And I was like, I don't like
it. there was the juiciness.
It was more of an emphasis on the juicy part than the juicy pulled
my
pork.
My bad. My bad for that. Yeah. my bad.
I was trying to focus on the sandwich part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. There's a couple of other Hunter options, you know. They got what? This is the last year they got on Hunter Harvey. So.
Yeah.
I think that if by any chance Hunter Renfro had a really bad year and got cut by the Royals midseason, they should give it to Hunter Harvey, though.
That's the quick switch. Yeah.
Like, you don't have to change anything that says, and actually just start saying Hunter approves. You know, then you can just change out the photo or whatever else works out.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I hope Hunter Harvey has, Hunter Renfro has a good year because there are a lot of swing players for them this year. Look at it. Massey, MJ, Renfro, and Mikel Garcia are four players gold. You and I don't know what they're actually going to get out of those guys.
Nope. That's
why we're doing this conversation. Who's going to be the best? Well, but we don't know.
And that's where if we take a look at the AL Central and we see how close this division is projected to be again. So FanDuel has odds out for the American League Central, and the Twins are the favorites at plus 220. The Tigers, second best odds, plus 230. Guardians, plus 290. The Royals sitting at about 3-1. Fourth best odds, and then the White Sox are like 280-1 to win the American League Central. We know three teams made it out of this division. What team is the biggest obstacle for the Royals this year? Because they're all so close. I look at the off seasons, and I still think the Royals by far had the best offseason of any team in the American League Central. I honestly don't think it's close.
And pretty much every book says it's like razor thin margins.
I think that the team that will be battling at the end with the Royals is the Detroit Tigers. And it's not like they went out and made a ton of moves, but they had the AL Cy Young Award winner last year. He's also back with them, of course, in Skubal. They have some other young pieces that worked in that lineup. We all saw how they played down the stretch last season, too. It was pretty remarkable. I mean, they were the best team in the division down the stretch, not even close. The Tigers, to me, still have, we talk about ceilings. Their ceiling is higher than some of these other teams we're talking about.
Some unknowns, and they're like counting on some prospects. They've got like a rookie of the year candidate.
The only thing I will say that would have put them clearly, and you would have probably universally agreed with me on this, would have been if Alex Bregman would have chose them and not the Red Sox. Then everybody would have agreed the Tigers would be the favorite to win the division outright. They're already tied for the best odds. I think the Tigers would easily be the division favorite if it wasn't for Bregman choosing the Red Sox. He didn't, so here we are. I would say the Royals, the Tigers, and then the Twins would be kind of the teams that I can say. My worry, not worry, in Kansas City it's fine with me, but my worry if I were a Twins fan would be Royce Lewis is already hurt. Byron Buxton, we know the injury history there. They lost Carlos Santana. They lost Max Kepler. Like, where's their offense in Minnesota coming from?
Yeah, the Tigers have Job. I don't know how they pronounce it. I think it's just Job. J-O-B.
He still is eligible for Rookie of the Year, I believe.
Yeah,
this year.
He didn't play enough games last year.
If you look at Rookie of the Year odds, he's got some of the best odds. Yeah,
I think he's favorite. Yeah, he's way up there anyway. So like, they are the most.
The Yankees prospect. Dominguez has the best.
So like, here's the thing. Young and unproven can go the way of the Tigers win the division. But it can also go the way. You remember the White Sox had like 17 great young players gold, and we were all gushing over the guys they had in, and then none of them became responsible, reliable big leaguers. That can happen to the Tigers too.
Sure.
The Twins have more proven big league talent. I think they're the second most balanced team in the division besides the Royals. I think the Royals should be the favorite to win the division. I actually think the way that they're looking at this is wrong, and that the Royals, whose biggest weakness last year, they were a league average offense. We looked it up. They're like the 15th best in most categories, 10th to 15th. The Royals had one of the five best rotations in all of baseball last year. They had a garbage bullpen. They tried to fix it in the middle of the year. They spent even more time fixing it this offseason. They fixed their single biggest weakness this year to the point that Carlos Hernandez was available to be on the street. And so I think that the Royals should be favored. But if I had to pick a team that I thought is the biggest problem for them, I still think it's the Twins.
Neither one of us said the Guardians.
Bieber's
back at some point.
Yeah, but I don't like the rest of their rotation. Mm-hmm. And I love their bullpen. It's tremendous. They'll win some games because of that. I don't think the Guardians will go back to like a 65-win team. I don't like their lineup. I don't think they can hit. And so like, I don't think they have any protection in the middle of the order for Ramirez.
Yeah, Carlos Santana goes from the Twins to the Guardians, and he's just, you know, that's who's supposed to protect Ramirez. Yeah, that's the question for them a little bit. I think ultimately it's going to be a very close division again, and I don't believe three teams are going to come out of this division like last season. Everybody beat up on the White Sox. The White Sox still stink. It just won't be to the same degree. I will be really surprised if three teams come out of the division again. I think it's back. It's going to be a two playoff team division. Of course, a division winner and then a wild card team. I think that's where this gets back to. But we were talking about the American League as a whole. The good thing for all these teams in this division, you're in the AL, you're not in the NL. There is really nobody that should run away with this American League, in my opinion, this season. I know the Yankees have the best odds. I think they have some holes. I like the Boston Red Sox personally to win the AL East. But you look across the AL, there are question marks with plenty of teams. And each one of these teams we listed in the AL, Central in particular, they all have question marks. Like when we're talking about
Royals too.
People were texting in, hey, the Royals, this is going to hold them back. Oh, the Royals have plenty of question marks, but everybody else in the division does as well. We on Thursday for opening day, we can give our final win totals and let you guys text in as well. Win totals, everybody has that. That's a fun game to play, right? My total is pretty aggressive. We did a social media video that I think will be out tomorrow where we gave ours. I was told your number, and we're not far off.
I was not told your number, but I'm sure we're in the range.
We're very close. Not the same number, but we are very close.
Okay, good. Yeah. I mean, last year we were both under.
Oh, I mean, who wasn't?
I mean,
who wasn't at that point?
We were both.
I think I said 78 last year. You had 76, Drew had 77
or something like that.
And I don't know, maybe for this one, Drew's number might have been, it's funny if we're going to be all three in a row
again. I'm intrigued to see.
Like, I wonder if we're all three in a row again. My goodness.
So I don't know yours, Gold. I think I know Cody's. I am not.
Because I want to know my number.
I'm very close. No. I didn't ask. I said my number, and then Kramer told me what yours was. I don't think Gold had given his yet, but I think I'm close. Okay. I think we're close again, yes.
Okay.
Everybody had theirs in the 80s. I'm going to go ahead and guess. Okay. I'd be shocked if nobody
did. Or 90s, you know, could be.
Well, I doubt it.
But it's not, but it's certainly not in the 70s now. Okay. No. Or hundreds. Maybe somebody has it in the hundreds.
Yeah, I went with the classic 162. Yeah.
You were pulling a Bob Fesco with the, you know, instead of
with 30, the cheese score.
I did not do that for the record. I think it's a pretty aggressive record, but I don't think it's like crazy. So we'll do that on Thursday, final picks and everything like that.
Okay.
I mean, text. I love this text. Look, I have no idea what the record's going to be, right? We're all guessing to a certain extent, educated guesses. But, like, the first text, one injury away from being a very bad team. Okay, well, yes, a lot. If Bobby Wood Jr. gets hurt.
If Aaron Judge gets hurt,
if Gunnar Henderson gets hurt, like, yes, a lot of teams are screwed if their best player gets hurt. You are correct. Yeah.
I mean,
the only team that's not is. I mean, the Dodgers. Is it?
The Dodgers could lose Shohei Ohtani, and then they'd only win 104 games, you know. But everybody doesn't have $8 trillion. They don't have like the GDP of Guatemala for their entire payroll. So, like, yeah, everybody but the Dodgers. I don't know what the GDP of Guatemala is.
This person's at 78 and 84.
I mean,
we'll get your estimates. Yeah. I like people putting on a record so they can't claim high or low that they were wrong or right.
Yeah. No, it's not the record. It was the reasoning. I don't disagree. Like, if you want to say the record 78-84, I'm not going to argue with you. I just think if your logic is, well, they're one injury away from one of their most important players from being a bad team. Well, yeah. I mean, sure.
I guess he's just assuming an injury will happen. Look, if you think this year they're not going to be as healthy on the
pitching staff, I think that's my concern. Yeah. Is in the rotation. I mean, they will be more injured in the starting rotation.
I think
no
they're
doubt.
Deeper in the rotation than they were last year, though.
But if your concern is like, well, if Salvi, Vinny, or Bobby miss a majority of the season, they're screwed. Well, yes. Yeah.
Have you signed up for FanDuel TV yet?
Yes, I do. I have an active subscription.
You're good to go
on the FanDuel TV app. I'm ready to rock and roll. I also got the wonderful annual notification from T-Mobile that is MLB.TV for a year.
How do they do this deal every year? It's crazy.
MLB TV.
It's a partnership with Major League Baseball.
So obviously that doesn't cover the Royals, but it means I can watch every other game for free now for the rest of the year. I'm excited about that. If you're a T-Mobile subscriber, you can get the same thing. And fantasy baseball season is ready to start. So I need the app, man, so I can keep track of some bets in fantasy baseball all year. I need to watch some other teams. I only have one Royals player on my team. Unfortunately, it's not because I didn't want to. It's just the way the draft worked out.
Who'd you get?
Last player on my bench. because
Jack Caglione.
No, someone drafted him much higher. Here's the thing,
Kyle Isbell.
There's, I need to give you the context real quick because you're going to
be like, I can't believe you drafted Kevin Biggio.
The context is it's an 18 team league with 19 players on every roster, so you can do the math. Right. There's a lot of rosters, a lot of deep rosters. My bench spot for right now, I'll probably have to cut him if it doesn't pan out. We were just having the conversation. Hunter Renfrow is my last guy on the bench.
That is why
there's 18 teams.
Cody, that was why Gold picked him.
Somebody draft Caglione, but I'll be honest, in this league, it makes no sense because he's going to be sitting on your bench for months.
Can't stash him on the injury report. Yeah, he's not injured. He's just a minor leaguer.
No, I wanted other Royals players. It was a Kansas City fantasy baseball league, so as you can imagine, people overdrafted.
Bobby Witt Jr. went second.
Which is fine. Yeah, he should. But like,
even, I thought Kansas City was.
But Salvi and Vinny and some of these guys went even higher than their projected spots because we're in Kansas City.
Big believers, you know? Yeah. Plus, it's hard to get good offensive catchers in a fantasy baseball league.
I went with Salvador Perez, probably one of the better ones. I went with the Astros catcher, Diaz. He's my starting catcher, since you guys care so much, I'm sure.
But yeah. Oh, yeah, we're locked Yandy. Into fantasy.
I know you're locked in. Fantasy Cody baseball. Was invited. I mean, you were all invited.
I was invited.
We got a lot of listeners in the league, too.
So, I'm sure some people can relate to this.
It's a lot of work for fantasy baseball.
I have done fantasy baseball before, pre-kids. And pre-kids, as in, like, I only had, like, a job. Or, like, maybe, I don't know, two jobs or school and a job. But, like, no kids, no things eating up my time. And it almost buried me. The amount of time it takes for me to get through a fantasy baseball league. And the amount, like, versus fantasy football, it is just easier. It's also just easier to know the players who are good. Do you know how hard it is to know who the second best outfielder is for the Cincinnati Reds? I don't know. I don't know who that is. I'm like, other than Ellie De La Cruz, I'm not sure which Red I can name. Well, Brady Singer. Name two.
That's right.
No, I hear you. It's tough. This year we changed it up. We're doing weekly instead of daily because we used to have it where you could change your lineup daily, and so you really had to dive. It's weekly. You set it on Sunday or Monday, and then you forget it for the week at least. That's going to help. But yes, it took a lot more time than I thought last year.
I tried fantasy baseball one time, and
it makes you enjoy the league better.
I think very much so. But three and a half weeks in, I had forgotten my lineup a couple of times, and I'm like, "There's no way that I'm going to keep up with this." And I just finished the season out, and I was done after that.
I liked it because the Royals were competitive last year, and so knowing more about the league and players. Frankly, if the Royals weren't competitive, maybe I wouldn't have been as interested. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I definitely will know more about the league because of it. Just like anybody that plays any fantasy, you feel like players
helps you
more.
Learn the league better.
I enjoy it. It's fun.
But it's like it's such a regionalized sport. I don't think anyone cares that I can't name a third player on the Cincinnati Reds. I pay attention to the divisional teams, the rest of the AL, and then as they get ready for these series, I start seeing where the matchups are for the Royals as it relates to how they are capable of winning. Like, more than anything, I look at it that direction, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I sign up for FanDuel every year. I share it with, or previously Bally's or whatever.
And a few people have told me that if you have not... if you did not use FanDuel, so the sportsbooks promo for NBA League Pass, that there's an offer out there for FanDuel TV. If you,
you get three months free. Like,
but if you claim the NBA League Pass one, supposedly you may
is
not
this
be
for
eligible.
New customers?
No.
Maybe get three.
But if
three
you use the
if you use the
NBA League Pass promo from October, you may not be eligible.
Let's put it with my father-in-law. It's like $60.
So, do you get access to the other teams that are had to have FanDuel Sports?
No, just the Kansas City one. So the Blues, the Thunder, who are great,
correct,
and the Royals.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and then I just cancel it October whenever they finish
the
postseason.
That's right.
Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, I just get rid of it. I don't keep it for the Thunder.
And of course, every game on the radio right here on 96.5 The Fan. Don't miss any game.
My phone keeps sending me ads for both the Royals and the Cardinals for FanDuel TV. I'm like, get this Cardinals one out of here. Stop it. And it's the same dude. And he just puts on a different hat. He's like, hey, St. Louis. Same guy. Puts on a different hat.
Are we going to have the same commercials over and over during the FanDuel?
No Remember on chance. We're going to have family app, fun vacation.
That Bally app.
Come
the sounds of the water swishing around the whole time over and over and over. Oh, my gosh.
The whatever YouTube adventure one was the one that was going to send me to the end. The come follow the whatever family on their family adventures. They go through whatever. And I was like, ugh.
At least on MLB TV, I think they give you like the Baseball Zen, where they have like the base pass being lined.
That gets old after a while too, though.
No,
Road Trip Angler, Jameson Redding was the one. That was the one that was on all the time. Anyway, I guess it worked, right? We know the name of it.
Hated it. No, I'd like to think that FanDuel's going to... I mean, at the very least, it might just be a lot of FanDuel ads, but if it's not the same ones over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, I'll live, I guess. Give me a little spice of life. Can I buy a 30? How much can it cost? You're just running the same guy's ad over and over again. You should let me have a 30 for free.
Our show fund's not making
No, we're not even advertising. Tune we're not even actually Cody trying to sell
gold,
anything.
Hold on.
No, we don't even do that. It's just it's like the way Tracy Morgan did it in 30 Rock. We're just talking about whatever the hell we want for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
We don't even advertise the show. They have to like look up who the hell these idiots are.
Yeah. Great taste, less filling. Great taste, less filling. Over and over. Over and over all baseball season. We'll see what they got for us this year, huh? We'll see.
I mean, can't
worse. How about you run that by spec during the commercial break, Cody?
What's that?
We have the games on our station already.
Yeah, we're not trying to advertise on.
Well, no.
Hey, if you're not watching this on TV,
No. You advertise the shows. Hey, when you're not watching, tune in to the shows.
Yeah, that'd actually be better.
It is both.
Gonna work out a partnership, you know.
That's right.
Good stuff.
Up next, guys. We're going to get to what's trending. I want to talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament. Sweet 16 begins on Thursday. Let's take a look at some of the top seeds. Who you actually think outside of the top three could go on a run? We'll do that coming up next.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We got a little update on Vinny Pasquantino's hamstring strain. We know it's a grade 1+ strain. Now, Annie Rodgers said she spoke to Matt Quatrero last night that said Vinny told him that everything's felt good in the cage. Next step is increasing the intensity on the field today. And she also tweeted out some video of Vinny taking some ground balls. She says everything is trending well. It's still hard to say whether or not he's going to play opening day, but it's not the severe injury that's going to keep him out for a long time. I think that is safe to say. The question is it enough to keep him out of opening day?
That we'll find out probably as they get closer to opening day. The Royals obviously have their public workout tomorrow for fans. I believe the gates open at 2:30 for a 3:00 workout. For those of you who want to go out and get your first look at the Royals back in KC. Next up on What's Trending, USC star Juju Watkins has suffered a torn ACL during their team's 96-59 win over Mississippi State. Terrible. I saw it live last night as it went down. You saw it go down pretty quick, hold her knee. Everyone immediately thought serious injury. Unfortunately for Juju Watkins, it was. USC is actually K-State's opponent that they're going to take on in the Sweet 16 as well. So it might help the Wildcats out, but you feel awful for college basketball, women's college basketball's biggest star, and Juju Watkins, who now is going to be out, you know, like a year probably for a torn ACL in basketball. This isn't, depends on the sport, you know, but in basketball, that's a big one.
Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, a new contract was just signed a few minutes ago, according to Jeff Passan. Gold Glove catcher for the Mariners, Cal Raleigh, has agreed to a 6-year, $105 million contract. Extension from the Mariners buys out 3 of his free agent years.
Next up on What's Trending, according to Jeff Goodman and other reporters, Ben McCollum, who just became the head coach at Iowa, his biggest star, Sturts, will be entering the transfer portal.
Shocking.
Where will he go?
Shocking, you know?
Iowa. He'll follow his head coach, who just took the job there. He followed him from Northwest Missouri State to Drake. He will now follow him from Drake to Iowa. Makes all the sense in the world. That's not surprising at all, Gold. Actually, I'm kind of happy for the kid. Now he gets to play in the Big Ten every day. You're talking about somebody who shot up their name in college basketball more quickly in the last 12 months. It's probably him.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about that. That is what's trending, by the way, here on Cody and Gold. So, I think when we think about Vinny Pasquantino for a second before we get to the college basketball discussion, Vinny working in the field today, these are all good signs. I guess I'm just skeptical on the, because of when this is happening, because it's happening 3 days before opening day, do they just say it's just not even worth it, man? Yeah. We're gonna wait a day or two.
It's just tough. It's like, how many opening days do you get to play in? And I know that's a big deal for baseball players.
Sure.
Like that's
162 game schedule though.
It's a big deal for baseball players. But if you ask Vinny, or if I asked Vinny and I said, hey, what's a bigger deal to you, playing on opening day or playing 155 games this year? I can guarantee you, based on conversations we've had with him on this show, the answer is 155 games. And that's good. That actually is the right thing to care more about in this scenario. Just assuming you have at some point played on an opening day. If you'd never played in one, maybe it's a little different. Having played in an opening day before, I guarantee you the thing that matters more to Vinny is playing a long stretch. I still think maybe it's a long shot he plays on Thursday, but I don't know. He seems to be the kind of guy who is very willing to play through injury. I don't think every player in Major League Baseball would have come back from the thumb.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is, if it's opening day, I'm not having any player play through injury. It's opening day. There's 162 games.
Yeah. So you're just saying the training staff's going to be like, hey, man, I'm glad you want to play. No.
Right. If he's playing, that means it's not playing through an injury. It means he's healthy, is how I would think
that's
they would approach it.
That's how I would approach it. You're right. If I were the training staff, that is how I would approach it with Vinny. But, the longer you play in the big leagues, and he's still a pretty young player in the league, the longer you play in the big leagues, more of a say you have in that kind of thing. He's probably still early enough in his career.
Because we know it's a minor strain. It happened Saturday or Sunday? Again, confused. Remember? Was it Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Okay. Saturday. So it can take a couple days. It could take a week or so. By the time we get to Thursday, there's obviously a chance that something minor like this heals up. But we'll see. We'll find out more tomorrow as well with the workout day. All right, let's talk a little college basketball. The tournament, of course, will begin again on Thursday. Sweet 16, tourney coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eat, drink, scenic views. So we know all four number ones are still around. We know three of the two seeds are still around. And you go through and you take a look outside of the obvious and ones. Who could win the title now that you know the path even clearer than it was before? So three seeds or higher, let's go with, at this point in time. Because I'm looking at the bracket. We all know how dominant Duke looked. And much like how we discussed baseball, like you want to avoid being on the National League with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You want to avoid being on that side of the bracket with the Duke Blue Devils.
Or at least avoid playing them as long as possible.
Yeah, eventually you probably are going to have to play them the way it's looking. And so I'll stick with the pre-tournament bracket. And I had Texas Tech in a national title game against Duke. I've seen nothing from Texas Tech, and it's opened up a little bit, at least on the bottom half of their bracket.
It has.
They're going to play Arkansas instead of St. John's.
They're the only team who gets a double-digit seed to play.
Yeah, so I'll stick with Texas Tech. Can they get McCollum back? One of their better players has not played in the tournament yet, and they've still been able to pull off wins, including the latest one against Drake. So I'll stick with Texas Tech as my team. If it's not Duke, that can win the title.
I like Kentucky. I'll be honest, one of the biggest hangups I have is not like they've played in the SEC. They played with the biggest teams, the biggest competition in college basketball year. They finished in the top third of the SEC standings. So they know how to play tough games against big-time opponents. Can they, with a first-year head coach for them, make that kind of run? You got to remember that, they were in a weird spot. Their Hall of Fame head coach ditched them for Arkansas, another team who is in there and a part of the Sweet 16. And they don't shoot. I'd like it if they shot a little bit better from three, traditionally speaking, for Kentucky. But as I look at the other teams, right, if I consider Texas Tech, if I consider Michigan, if I consider some of the other guys, or even Arkansas, right, if that was your team.
Yeah.
I just like the way they're built. They're fairly balanced. They don't have to play Duke until they get to a Final Four. Maybe somebody get lucky and take care of them before you got to that point. I think they match up okay on the bottom end of their bracket. The truth is, if you made me guess, I think a one or a two seed's winning the national championship. Part of what I like about this conversation is, if it's not going to be one of those, then who is? Because if we went on right now, Golden, we said, all right, who's winning the national championship? Duke, Florida. Duke, Houston, Florida. It'd be 65% Duke on the text line, 20% Houston, and the rest would be Florida.
A lot of it would be one seed.
Yeah, because Tennessee's looked kind of meh. Yeah. St. John's already got knocked out. You know, the two seeds have actually looked worse than the
Michigan
three.
Michigan State's good, but are they good enough to...
And they've struggled.
...to beat Florida, even if they make it to the Final Four? Are they good enough to even get to the title game? Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if you made me answer, I'd say Kentucky. Although I think we all agree that Duke looks like the best team still. Duke looks really good. Cooper Flagg's pretty good at basketball. I don't know if anyone figured that out yet.
It turns out.
Yeah, people are reminding you that Cal got forced out of Kentucky. He didn't decide to leave for Arkansas.
That's true, I guess.
He was about to... They wanted him out.
They wanted him out. But
they
also, I don't know, it was just weird. He quit before they could fire him, but would they... it was a weird circumstance. That's fair. forced out. Like, that's like a, I'm sure Cal say, no, I left.
It is interesting that they're still both in the tournament, where it's almost like you.
That's fine.
There's part of me that.
I'd love for them in the national championship. That's never going to happen.
That would be that would be insane.
There was part of me that was hoping Kentucky was going to lose over the weekend, so Arkansas would have made it further in the tournament than Kentucky. But
I'm sure
give
Cal
Coach
would have
Cal
said something.
Credit. I mean, I know he's a polarizing figure and everything, but give him credit. I mean, that team was 0-5 to start SEC play, and he took a ton of criticism and somehow has his team with wins in the multiple wins in the tournament to get it to Sweet 16.
They looked lost to start SEC play.
They got back Flan too, and he's been really good for them in the tournament.
Peaking at the right time. It's what you want to do.
I think that Michigan is still the team that...
Why Michigan?
So I think that the reason why is...
Other than they got hot and they've remained hot, they probably won the most straight games I'm imagining in the tournament.
I think it's partially, and I might be just overlooking the entire thing of the size, but that's the reason why a lot of people were... A lot of people like Michigan anyways in terms of how they fit against other teams. Like Florida, for instance. Florida is a very tall team. Jani Broom for Auburn, tall player. In terms of length, size, Vlad Goldin, 7'1". Danny Wolf, 7 feet tall, 6'11". Danny Wolf can handle the ball as a point forward, if you will, as well. Stretch the defense out. I like what they do. The only thing that Michigan does really poorly is they don't take care of the ball very well. They have done,
which scares me in a tournament.
They only had 9 turnovers against
Kansas.
They only had 9 turnovers against A&M, and they won the game, and that was a big reason why, I think. That's what they're going to have to do to make it. It's just, can they do it? I think that they're a team to, if they can take care of the ball, they've got a lineup and a roster that is good enough, and a head coach in Dusty May to win the whole thing. If you say Michigan sucks on the text line, then why the hell are they in the Sweet 16?
That's a fair point.
I mean,
they're just saying they're not good enough to win it all. But like,
unless
you're
Michigan,
sucks, feels a
unless
bit
they turn over the ball at a ridiculous rate, I think.
The fact that they turn the ball over at a ridiculous rate and they still manage to win these games is actually very impressive, because turning the ball over at the clip that they do is the reason why a lot of teams lose in the first round.
They were picked to lose in the first round by a lot of people. Yeah. They were wrong. A lot of people picked them to lose in that first game.
Unless it's Kramer
texting. I'm ranked 230th or something.
And it's not Kramer texting in.
Did you pick UC San Diego against them?
Like,
That was a very popular.
UC San Diego to go to the Sweet 16.
Was a popular upset pick.
As my bracket sucks, I did have Michigan in the Sweet 16. So
yeah, you're bottom 10.
I am, and I'm not going to be dead last.
You got that one right, but you got so much wrong.
I won't be dead last, in fairness, based on
that one guy who
our buddy Cam is his possible points remaining in our Coding Gold Bracket Challenge are 53.
That's so
he's
tough.
Got one team left in his bracket. He's done. He's done. He's done.
That's tough.
He will finish last. Sorry, Cam.
Finishing last is... That's pretty.
Shout out to some of you doing really well.
He has one team left and we're in the Sweet 16.
His one team is
brutal.
Michigan State, I think he said. That to get to 58, they have to win the title. So it's good.
Wait, to get to 58?
I think that's right. I think that's what he
said. All 16s over,
I looked at his bracket. He, for some reason, he had Gonzaga against Memphis in the national title game or something like that.
Like, I'm not going to pretend like I watch Memphis basketball, but I would have never chosen that.
It is funny. I do say Michigan, but I have Michigan State in the Final Four. But again, Michigan State's a 2. They're not a 3 or higher.
This conversation is 3 or higher. Like, if you're a believer in Michigan State, that's fine. I just felt like if we opened it up, it's like everyone would choose over 1 or 2.
Kentucky,
so do we actually think, what percentage chance do you think
that's
a
1?
3 or higher seed wins the NCAA tournament?
20%.
10?
If you gave me Duke and let's put it this way. If you gave me Duke and Auburn or the field, I would take Duke and Auburn. Like, if you gave me that versus the field, I really would. I think that is not that great.
All the ones. I'll take Duke and Auburn.
Ooh. Yep. I'd be really tempted.
Auburn losing to Texas Tech, obviously, in the Final Four. But my point is, like, if you gave me the two perceived best teams remaining versus the field, I would still take that. That's me being a Texas Tech believer, too. I think that wouldn't be a crazy thing to take.
I would say this. I would be fascinated if all ones made it. The matchups, of course, you'd have SEC against SEC, but Duke is so good offensively. They're also very good defensively. This is the best team offensively that Kelvin Sampson maybe has had at Houston. And we know that they're
part
also
of me wants Houston
very,
to win
very
it.
Good.
I think it's going to be 1-1-1-1 part of me, in the Final Four.
Part of me wants Houston
it'd be
to
cool
win
for
it.
Kelvin Sampson to win it.
Like, obviously, for bracket's sake, sure, Texas Tech, I'd like them to go on a run. But like, if we're just saying from a team and a likability, I wouldn't mind seeing Houston find a way to get
LJ
for Kelvin
man.
Sampson to get to a national title game. Now, that would require them beating Duke in the Final Four.
And Emmanuel Sharpe. Those
I also like, this is like one of the few fandom things I do that's like related to conference. SEC has been talked about so much, I kind of want a Big 12 team. Like, I know that it doesn't, yeah. And like, I know Missouri's in the SEC, yeah. But I still think of like the Big 12 tournament.
Who's the
here.
One team and program you don't want to win? Like, for whatever reason, everybody has their own, what you're just like, I hope they don't win. Maybe it is Duke, right? Maybe it's just
Duke,
you hate Duke.
Yeah, come on. I don't want Duke to win.
For sure.
Like the Yankees at college basketball. I know they haven't won like at that rate, but like, yeah, who the hell wants it? Oh, I hope Duke gets another national championship.
I really don't want to see, I don't care for Kentucky like that. Or also, I know I'm from Indiana, but I don't want to see Purdue win. It's fine. If you're really
Did
good for Matt
win
Painter.
One with?
They've never won one with
okay,
Matt Painter.
I couldn't remember. They,
Matt
Painter's
Painter,
been there for 30 years.
Matt Painter is Mark Few. They are the exact same. Never won a title. They've been there, haven't won it.
Well, that's right. They got. I was about to say,
they went last year and they lost
with
to
Edie, right?
Yeah, they went last year and lost to UConn.
Yeah. How about that? How about their SID threatening a guy's life? I'll end you, or whatever the hell he said after finding out the reporter took that video of Dan Hurley being Dan Hurley. There's a million videos of Dan
you
Hurley
just
acting
also don't
insane.
Say things
Why
like
do
that?
You care that that's the one? If you don't say that to people, you mean? You don't say, I will end you, or just like as an SID?
No, in general, you don't say it. And also, if there's any reason why people are complaining that there is an investigation, for somebody to say that, that's a legitimate threat that you have to, I think, look into in some way, shape, or form. You
right,
just don't
but
say
UConn
that.
Should not get a postseason ban.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
That's insane, too. Right?
The on-the-court stuff is ridiculous. Yeah, so the director of comp should get a should get an investigation for what are you
asking?
The SID
might
you
lose his job.
That?
If you don't know what we're referencing, after the loss, UConn. On their head coach, right? Dan Hurley, a polarizing figure, a villain, if you will, of sports. He's a jerk. He's an a-hole. We've acknowledged that. He was caught on camera basically warning Baylor, who was about to take the floor next, like, hope the refs don't F you over too, right? And so that video went viral, and the SID at UConn, who, the sports information director, basically
reportedly.
Like put pressure reportedly and maybe threatened this reporter. And was upset with how they covered it, essentially, to sum it up. And that's where we're at.
Texan says he thinks they said he would end his career.
Yeah, career, not as like, I'm going to kill him. End you as in your reputation,
as a matter
your
of fact,
career.
If anything, it's actually helped this
kind
person's
of helped,
career.
If he kills you. If you think about it, also ends your career.
It's actually done
you're
the
not
flip
doing a job
side.
Anymore if you're dead.
Yeah.
That video has actually done the flip side. This person is getting more buzz and also did their job very well in terms of getting content that a lot of people are paying attention to.
No, I'm laughing at the idea that like, and this all just comes like, if you got like one big jerk in charge of the entire program, there's going to be some other jerks. That's all this is.
Yeah, that behavior is allowed,
right?
The SID
has been empowered to act like this because Dan Hurley often acts like a big crybaby and did even like two time. Again, none of us are arguing that Dan Hurley is not one of the five best coaches in all of college basketball. My thing is that I think his attitude has gone too far. Like, there's a time to act like a normal human being. You won two straight national championship games, and now you're going out crying about refs, and now you got your SID threatening reporters. That seems unnecessary. It doesn't have to go down like that. It just got worse or uglier. I did like that his attitude was the SID, which is like the most, and I think every PR staff would do this. I've been told pretty much stuff by this by PR staff before, and it's the biggest cop-out. I always hate it. He said, the lasting image shouldn't be that of Dan Hurley from this tournament. It should be him walking off the court with his arm around his seniors. I'm like,
well, then you guys
well,
can put
he
out.
He's going to put his arm around his senior while he walked off the court.
Well, you could also, if there's a photo of that on your university athletic page, you guys can post that photo. That's fine.
Yeah, teams make it That's seem fine. Like I'm supposed to paint you in a really rosy picture, like it's my job. The last 180 seconds are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, and then receive free support for life. Online at awaken180weightloss.com. What were you going to say, Drew?
Do we dare, somebody mentions parlays in the text line, do we dare make another show bet for Thursday?
I mean, you guys can fade it,
or
sure.
Friday?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can. Not? There will be no games on during our show Thursday. Sure. We're at Kauffman. Right. We're going to be, we can maybe do a Royals bet if you want on the
yeah,
game.
Let's just bet on like Bobby to hit a homer or something. More fun, you know?
Hey, this is the, I can tell you this is exciting news. This is the last opening day. in which you will not be able to live bet from your seat at a Royals game. How about that?
Sounds really nice.
By next opening day, by October or November, but by next opening day, you will be able to live bet while you're sitting there.
Yeah, it'll be later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
There was never really a chance it was going to be this opening day, but
no. They were talking
soon. This is the last opening day for the Royals that we won't have the ability to not live wager.
A lot of people on the text line big on Houston, I'll say.
Well,
or maybe it's just this one guy.
It's the same person.
Maybe it's just this one guy who's really big on Houston.
They are fired up.
You guys like Houston. I mean, I also think they're very good. They won a difficult Big 12 and play great defense.
I think also if Tennessee makes it past Kentucky, we're talking about two great defenses against each other and two good matchups. I think right now any matchup that we get in the Elite Eight is going to be a very good one, very intriguing one. Like Ole Miss, they're kind of the outlier in this situation where they're not a blue blood in terms of college basketball, never really have been in the national title conversation. They haven't made a Sweet 16 in I think 20-plus years now. And Chris Beard obviously is doing a great job with them. I mean, if they find a way to beat Michigan State, they're a lot of people are going to fall in love with Ole Miss, even if they're... It's weird to say fall in love with Ole Miss, but I think a lot of people are going to really fall in love with them just in terms of them being the under... If they make the Elite Eight, they're the underdog.
I don't think people are going to fall in love with a Chris Beard coach team and an assistant coach that married his deceased brother's ex-wife, so...
Okay,
I don't think that'll be a team.
I don't think people...
No, it's true. No, wait, it's very true.
Now that you mention that, I think... I agree with you. I didn't know the levels that other than Chris Beard.
Look it up. The assistant coach at Ole Miss, one of the assistant coaches, right? There's more. One of the assistant coaches was the head coach at Texas Tech. And look it up. His brother that passed away, he married his brother's like ex-wife.
Nah, man. That's messed up.
I'm not making this
that's
up.
That's crazy. All I know is that Dre Davis from
I'm good.
My hometown of his brother's widow, you know?
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dre Davis. He went to my high school.
Circumstances.
Played in. He's from Indy. He's on Ole Miss's team, so he went to my high school.
All right, that's going to do it for us today on Cody and Gold. Tomorrow will be a day closer, of course, to opening day. We'll talk a little bit more about Freddie Fremien, what we expect from him, and we'll also talk more draft. Daniel Harms from the Draft Network going to join us as well. Talk to you guys then up next. C-Dot, Rob on the draft.